Welcome to the CUCSB Advising Podcast. Join us as we bring you the latest advising updates at Cal State San Bernardino. Each episode is specifically made for you, the CUCSB students and parents. We provide you advising tips, interviews with both CUCSB campus resources and those in academic advising. Sit back and enjoy. Go Yotes!
Hey Yotes, my name is Star and here with me today...
Hey, this is Matt and Star. Another episode of the CUCSB Advising Podcast, and we're almost done with the spring semester.
Yes, we are, and it's crazy because I feel like it's just flying by. It's going really fast. Please make sure that you do register, y'all. Registration for summer has already begun, and also coming up for fall. Matt, can you share some information about that with us?
Yeah, so just like you said, summer registration is in full swing and fall registration is going to be starting very soon. So it will begin on April 26th for the fall registration, and that's for the 5 mandated groups that get that first priority or I should say higher registration appointment date. And then after that, it's done by class level. So please check your My Coyote account on your student center and look under the enrollment dates. What you will find is that the summer registration date pops up first on your student center. But if you click on details, you'll be able to pull up the fall semester registration date and then also see the time that you can register for the fall. So make sure you're also checking your student center if there's any holds on your account to make sure you take care of those. So that way you can register on your registration date.
And Matt, thank you so much for sharing that. We do have our amazing guests, James and Veronica, and I soon hear Yotes, you will be hearing from them. And Matt, can you tell us about our first guest?
So we have James Alford from Columbia College Chicago, an academic advisor from that institution. And we wanted to bring James onto this podcast to talk to you about his previous experience as an undergraduate student, his time seeing an advisor, and then also what it is now to be an academic advisor and mentor to students. And also, you can check out his podcast called 79th Street Podcast. But let's jump right into his interview. Yotes, we have James Alford, who works as an academic advisor at Columbia College Chicago. But not only that, James is also a speaker, presenter, mentor, and the host of the 79th Street Podcast, which James looks to give advice and share his experiences from being a student and professional in higher education, which is definitely why we wanted to bring James onto the CUCSB Advising Podcast. James attended Northern Illinois University, where he earned a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science and a minor in Black Studies, and a Master of Science in Adult and Higher Education. James was able to study abroad in Beijing, China, where he studied leadership, service, and culture, and this experience has shaped his perspective on many things and opened up so many opportunities to him as a student and currently as a professional. James, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. So, James, as an academic advisor, what student populations do you work with at Columbia College Chicago?
So I work with our film and television students. So it's our biggest major that we have on campus. So we have a number of advisors, but I work with the film and TV students, and I also work with our editing and post-production Bachelor of Fine Arts students. So these are students who specifically apply, and it's kind of like a more geared program towards, like, if they want to do like editing or directing or something like that, it's like a curriculum, especially for them to be like an expert in that area versus the BA, which is kind of general, and there's a lot of flexibility with it.
Nice. I don't know. We might have some students that might be reaching out to you and say, hey, can I transfer over to your college?
Right.
But Star, I want to kind of bring you back to like your time as an undergrad student, kind of navigating college and working toward your bachelor's degree. And I know when we were talking offline, you talked about how you didn't really meet with your advisor until maybe towards the end of your time. So maybe like around your senior year or so. And I think that would be a great story to tell on the podcast, because not only would students possibly relate to that story, but also why it's so important to meet with your advisor. So can you talk to us and tell us about your experience?
Yeah. So I remember being a freshman and, you know, I'm a first generation student. I'm a TRIO alum. And so you really don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I remember starting college and I was excited because I was a political science major and I just want to take political science classes. Like, I want to take these classes. And I remember I had, when I was in orientation, I was like, hey, can I take both of these classes? They was like, yeah, you can take both of them. And so I'm like, cool. So I'm like, I got these two political science classes, and I'm thinking I'm on it. And I remember, like, fast forward, I'm at the Center for Black Studies on campus, and another grad student seen me and just started having a conversation, like, hey, man, you know, what's up? You know, what's your major? And I'm like, oh, I'm a political science major. And he was like, oh, I was a political science major here, too. He's like, what classes are you in? And so when I started telling him what class I was in, he was like, hold on. You shouldn't be in both of those classes at the same time. He was like, for granted, we all know it would count as an elective, but he was like, as a first-year student, you know, it's kind of like you, one or the other, not both. And so I ended up, like, you know, a couple weeks in, withdrawn from a class, like, as a first-semester student. And then, you know, you hear from people like, oh, you don't want to withdraw from too many classes because the school, you know, they'll come after you if you withdraw from too many classes. And then from that point, I started seeking mentorship from the S-Plan mentoring program. And I learned how to read my gen eds on what gen eds I should be taking and what area they fill in. And then with my major, it was a number of African-American students that I came into contact with that were political science majors. So they would just tell me, like, hey, take this class, stay away from this teacher. And I just kind of took on that advice. And then I got to the point where I had joined Trill. So I joined Trill late. Like, some people are so surprised because I wear it like a name tag, you know. When I joined Trill, it was kind of like I had all of these things I want to do. And then at this point, it was like, all right, maybe I should go see an advisor because I had took a lot of classes in especially my major, where they weren't in the catalog I came in. They were new classes in another catalog. And as soon as I went to the advisor, it was like, well, hey, you've been taking classes. You got this many credits. Let's update your catalog year so we don't have to put in all of these substitutions for like 10 classes. And I wouldn't have known that. Or if I would have waited, you know, another year, I probably got like a no grad letter because it wouldn't have filled into my, you know, my degree audit without, if I wouldn't have took that initiative to go say like, hey, I'm trying to graduate. Let me see what I can do for myself to see, is that possible to graduate when I was thinking.
And thank you so much for sharing that experience, because I know students, you know, we here at Cal State Summer, you know, we use the PAWS, standing for the Program Advising Worksheet for Students. And yeah, I could totally relate, you know, and maybe say, thinking like, oh, you know, I think I got this, I'm reading it right, you know. But again, you mentioned TRIO, and that is, you know, Matt and I have been in the Education Opportunity Program, EOP, and also shout out to EOP, shout out to SALE, Student Assistance and Learning Program, that really helped a lot of our students, you know, keep on track, but also shout out to all advisors, as, you know, we're all advisors here trying to help students, guide them in their academic journey. Again, the experience, some students may go through that, some may not, but again, that experience is very important, being that know that you can get help from a mentor, from an advisor. So thank you, James, for sharing that. So James, during your undergrad, did you study abroad and had the opportunity to travel to China. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So that kind of, people are surprised when I mention this in conversation, but it makes for a great conversation because we have a lot of students from China, like especially at our school. And so it's a great talking piece when, you know, they say, hey, you know, I'm from China. I was like, I studied abroad in China. And so they just instantly, it's an automatic conversation piece. But how that trip came about was I call it like my second mother, but she's been like a mentor. Regina Curry, she worked at the Center for Black Studies. And I don't want to say I was like her shadow, but I was up under her from day one up until I graduated with my master's. And when the opportunity came, they said, hey, we're going to let you chaperone this study abroad trip. And the first thing she said, hey, I'm going, you going too. And she just did whatever in her power, you know, to make sure I was able, you know, to go from, you know, raising funds on the side so I could be able to pay for a passport, an air, you know, airfare, But it was a great opportunity where I'm glad I didn't go alone. You know, I know a lot of people would be uncomfortable, and I think I would be uncomfortable being in another country by myself. But it was great to go. It was six students, including me, and it was three staff from our school, and that was our group. One of the instructors had visited, I think has family there, but was there like a year prior and had made a friend, and that friend came and was like our personal tour guide for a good majority of the trip. So we kind of created like our own like family, right? Where most of those people I'm still pretty cool with. Like I said, Miss Curry, I'm still, like I said, that's like the second mother. And Helica, she was the assistant director of the Latino Resource Center. And we still communicate. Michelle Bringus, she was the director of the Asian American Resource Center, and we still have communication. But like with my peers, I think, like I said, some of those are like my family, like where one of my friends, we still talk pretty regularly, and it was like, yeah, this is my China buddy, because we kind of, like, we knew each other before then, but I think that trip just, you know, brought us closer. Like, you're in this country, and you're doing whatever you can, because, like, you're in another country, like, we have these, like, we had roommates, right? And so, like, you know, my one friend, her roommate was kind of like, you know, they had some tension at times, so it was just like, we always end up just hanging out together. So it was great to see it. And I tell anybody, if you can afford it, you know, study abroad. And this is not to knock study abroad, but I felt like those were like some of the easiest classes I ever took studying abroad. And one of my favorite motivational speakers, Eric Thomas, I listen to him a lot. He's a Trio alum as well. And so he just talks about how, you know, he was like, study abroad, it's not that the classes are difficult, it's just, can you afford it? And that's how I feel. We're like, you know, if you can afford it, I recommend anybody doing it, because, like I said, it was 3 weeks. It was kind of like a glorified vacation, right? Where we did work, but it didn't feel like work. Like, and we got to see all of these monuments and shows because we was learning this culture and, like, doing service learning projects with students from other schools. Like, to me, that's just, you know, another, you know, day in the park, you know. But, you know, if you can afford it, I recommend anybody doing it. If you're thinking about it, study abroad. Because to this day, that comes up in every interview I have. And I feel like the last few interviews is always the first question that people ask, because they're like, well, hey, China, tell us about this. And it's like, nobody can tell me about China because, you know, they haven't been there. And I had one buddy who I took some classes with a while ago. I ran into him out, and he was like, bro, you went to China? He said, man, I only know two black people that went to China. He was like, you and Stefan Marbury. And he said, and I don't really know him, I know you. And so it is a pretty, like, you know, good talking point, but it was a great experience, you know, just to experience that. Like I said, and I got a passport out of it, and I've used that passport, you know, and so my passport actually expires next year. And so I'm kind of sad about that, but I got my passport in 2012 to study abroad in China.
Great story there with that. And I'm hoping that Yodi's that you're listening to the podcast right now, that you really consider doing study abroad. I mean, especially once we're post-pandemic, you know, definitely take advantage of that. And then we had that study abroad office, you know, you're able to get in contact with the coordinator and go over the whole process. And a lot of times your financial aid can also help to cover some of those fees as well. So if you listen to James' story, great experience out of it. We'll see if your classes are easy if you take them, but you definitely can take some classes and have it transfer back, you know, get the credit for it. But you also just get that experience of traveling somewhere else and getting a whole different cultural experience. So thank you, James, for that. Now, one of the things too is, you know, you're seen as a mentor right now. You've also had many mentors growing up. And sometimes with students, the question comes up is like, why do I need to have a mentor? But also, if I want to have a mentor, how do I find a mentor? Do you have any advice for students?
Yeah. So I think the first thing, there's always peer mentoring going on at, you know, on the collegiate level. And so, like, As I mentioned, I came into S-Plan. That was a mentoring program specifically for incoming freshman African-American students. So that's what it was for. Well, first year, because they took transfer students and they paired you with a upperclassman based on, they tried to do interest. I was fortunate enough where I kind of got two mentors for the price of one. And it was only because I had the one mentor I was paired with in the program. And then I acquired another mentor who he just seen me around and was like, nah, I need to be mentoring him. And so I got two mentors for the price of one. But I think what you should do is, like, you want to look for somebody that's where you want to go or in the same field that you want to do. And you want to build that relationship. And I think, you know, it's okay to be picky because, you know, the one thing I learned in college, like, a lot of people will like to make claims to you because you're doing great things and they haven't influenced you in any way. So I'm very selective on who I say is my mentor. Like, I'll say, like, hey, that person's cool. I learned a lot from them. But, like, I do hold that mentor title, like, to my heart because I think you do have to be very selective. But you can find it in different places, from organizations to if there's a staff person or instructor that you're always in contact with, they could be a possible mentor. Because I'm going to tell you, like, students don't think to do this, like, build relationships with their advisor or their instructors, but you need that. Like, the one thing is, I want to always be of a resource to students. And just like last week, and I think it's relevant, right? I had a student reach out and say, hey, can I use you for a reference? And I unfortunately say, like, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. I really don't know you. And I think you should use somebody that know you, you know, better than I do, because I couldn't point the student out of a group of 20 people. And so I think that wouldn't be fair. And so that's another instance where you might want to consider mentors, because you're going to need those people as references for jobs and other things. And so if you build that relationship early, like I was grateful enough to do, where I built these relationships. And so, like, those people I can still call upon till this day, where, you know, it's a give and take. I definitely believe it's a give and take, where it wasn't them just always giving, but I was asked stuff of, like, my mentors at time. And some, you know, sometimes it was like, especially if it was like another staff or instructor, like, hey, we got a group of students coming up. Can you come speak to them? And it's just like, I would be a fool to not, you know, do that when this person is, like I said, I'm calling this person my mentor. And so it's definitely a give and take, but you can seek mentorship. There's a lot of mentoring programs, I think, like, within the school settings. But also, if you just see somebody, you're like, hey, I like that person, I think they're doing a great thing on campus, you know, approach them and just see. Like, I think that's a part of the college experience, where, like, you know, I have approached people too. It's like, hey, I don't know what you're doing, but I see you moving and shaking. How can I get like you? And, you know, and it works out sometimes. Sometimes it don't work out. But I would say it's their loss, because, you know, I feel like with any students, you have a lot to give to, you know, people. And if somebody doesn't want to, like, train, because I think that's all students want, right? Where they just want somebody to listen, and they want somebody to point them in the direction of good advice. And if a student feel like that, like I said, people call me crazy because, like I said, I do mentor, and, you know, but I think as the time goes on, you don't have to manage those relationships as much. Like, it's just like a quick check-in, right? Where, like, personally, I have a mentee that is graduating with her master's in counseling this year. But, like, the past 2 years, we've had minimum communication, and that's just because, you know, she did the undergrad. We got it through the first year, and now it's just like she kind of know where she's going. And so I think over time, you being a mentor, the workload lessens. But I do think it's good to give back to impact that next generation of students and of citizens.
Absolutely, James. And you brought up some great points, being that, you know, if you're looking for a mentor, we have peer mentors as well, especially here at CSUSB. We have the student mentoring program. We have, that's for first-time freshmen, incoming transfers. We also have the student mentoring program called LINK for continuing and transfer students. But also we have our Pan-African Collegiate Scholars, so PACS. And again, if you're interested, mentoring at csusb.edu. And again, you've covered so many amazing topics, and that, you know, I encourage students, don't wait. You know, if you find that a professor, you're interested in the research that they're doing, reach out to them. Don't be afraid, you know, an advisor, you know, ask questions. Don't be afraid to. And thank you so much for mentioning that, because these are all amazing information. And at one point in time, Matt, James, and I had mentors as well. So, you know, in the careers that we're at, we could not have gotten to where we're at today without the mentors, without the support, mm-hmm. family, of course, peers. But again, very important. And thank you so much for sharing that story, James. Now, you have a quote in your email signature, and the quote goes, "Everything you need to accomplish your goals is already in you." Why is that quote important to you?
I think that goes back to my time being a student, right? Where I think so much you look for validation from elsewhere, and you look in all these other places. But to be transparent, I was on academic probation after my first semester of college. I got dismissed technically after the second semester, and then I was given another chance. And so it wasn't a matter of like me looking like for help elsewhere. I just had to like go to the next level, and I had to pull that outside of me to become a better student. And so I think, you know, as people in general, like as staff, you know, sometimes you just say like, oh, the job, or hey, the school, this, but sometimes it's really in us to make a better situation for ourselves. And, you know, if that's creating a new opportunity, you know, starting a new organization, I think we all have those powers and capabilities inside of us to make it happen. Because, you know, somebody can tell you no, but, you know, if you come with the right paperwork, they got to tell you yes at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we wind down with the interview, you also host your own podcast, the 79th Street Podcast. Talk to us about that.
Yes. So I'm pretty sure a lot of people were looking for ways to, I want to say, stay connected to people when the pandemic first started. And so I was blogging, and then one of my former colleagues was like, James, you need to do a podcast. And then I started doing some research, and then one of my former students was telling me about like, oh, hey, you can use this app and you can make a podcast from your phone. So I started playing with the app, and then it's like, well, what do you talk about? I was like, well, I could talk about, you know, the college experience. And it's been really useful because I've been able to utilize a lot of my former students from my previous role when I worked in TRIO. And so a lot of those students have made appearances, and we talk about the college experience, you know, different aspects of it, from, you know, involvement to, you know, like the last episode we just did was just about like transitioning to the real world and like job searching, because, you know, that's important things that I don't think nobody was prepared for it. And like, so just try to bring that aspect of it and utilize like my wealth of knowledge from being an over-involved student to even working in higher ed as a professional, to reiterate some of these things where like, hey, students should meet with their advisor. Like, that was definitely an episode where it's like, hey, I get it. I didn't do it, but I'm telling you, I'm an advisor now. And it's easier if you just keep that relationship over the years than you meet with the advisor every 2 or 3 years. And so, but it just kind of came from, I think, the pandemic. And I was like, hey, let me put something out there. And I got a lot of, like I said, good feedback from my former students. And it's been fun. Like, I've learned a lot of new skills, and which I'm pretty sure you all can agree that, you know, you learned a lot in the midst of trying to run a podcast.
James, thank you so much for sharing that. I know that, you know, listeners are here, and if they would like to reach out to you, what's the best way, or even check out your podcast, how can they find you and your podcast?
Yeah, so they can look me up on Facebook or Instagram, the 79th Street Podcast. I think on Instagram is 79th Street _ podcast, to be exact. And then also they can go to JamesAlfordLLC.com and you can get the link to the podcast. It's available on you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. So if you got a favorite podcast website, it's on quite a few, but those probably are the easiest ways to reach out and connect with myself or the podcast.
Yeah, and if the last episode is a topic that you want to listen to, Yodis, I think once you graduate, what are you doing afterwards? Career advice, go check it out, definitely. James, thank you so much for being with us today.
No problem. Thank you.
James, you have been so amazing, and thank you so much for sharing that information. We are so happy that you joined us. And next up, we have Veronica from Summer Session. Enjoy, Yodis, and listen up. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining. We have our special guest, Veronica Crossley, from the College of Extended and Global Education. Veronica has been with the college since April 2018, and came from CSU San Marcos, where she managed summer and winter for 10 years. She enjoys winter and summer because they're unique, and every year is different with a new challenge. She's excited to see students meet their educational goals and takes pride in the fact that she's able to assist them with this. She loves her job, and again, here with us today is Veronica Crossley. Thank you so much, Veronica, for joining us.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So Veronica, we're going to ask you a couple questions, and some of these questions are coming directly from our students. And also, you have been on our live Instagram event. So some of these questions may be some of the questions that were asked during those live sessions. So summer enrollment is happening now, and students have had questions about fees and financial aid. Can you share the fees students can expect to pay, as well as mandatory fees for specifically undergraduate students?
So the student fees, they are for undergraduates, it is $325 per unit. Credential students will pay $345 per unit, and post-bac graduate fees will be $365. The mandatory campus fees for all levels are $235.64.
And thank you so much for sharing that information, Veronica. So again, please make sure that you do check the fees and mandatory fees. And Veronica, as far as financial aid, students have asked us questions regarding summer aid and applying for summer aid. Can you please share the type of financial aid that is available for students? And for those of you who are just tuning in via this podcast, be sure that you check out our previous podcast about financial aid information as well as summer aid. But Veronica, can you please share with us as far as the type of summer aid that students can expect?
Yes, there's several types of aid that is available. First, there's always aid that you have left over from fall and spring. If you have not spent it, or you haven't used it, or you haven't accepted all your loans, you're able to use that for summer. Also, you can use your federal Pell Grants if there's anything left over, and then the federal Pell Grant too. There's also two grants that we're offering this year, which we have offered in the past and we're still offering them this year. The Summer Assistance Grant, or what we call the SAG, is for students who are regularly admitted to a CSUSB eligible degree program. They meet the Satisfactory Academic Progress, or SAP, and you have to have a 2020-2021 FAFSA or DREAM Act on file. You can register up to 8 units and a minimum of 6 units. So you have to be in 6 units in order to be eligible for this grant. And it will only, We only pay out, it maxes out at 8 units. So if someone is enrolled in 8 units and they're enrolled in 10 units, someone else is in 10 units, they'll receive, if they qualify, that same funding would be the same for 8 or 10 units. There is no application fee for that. Students just need to enroll, and then financial aid determines their eligibility. We also have what's called the Graduation Initiative Grant, and that is the gig. We call it the gig. That's for seniors who are graduating this summer. So you have to have your file, your grad check on file for summer, or you need to refile it. But it's for seniors who will graduate in this summer. It's not the fall, but the summer. You will have to complete an online application. It's on our website, and you can find that at csusb.edu. At csusb.edu/summer. You will have 100% of your tuition only paid for, and it will only pay for those classes that go towards your graduation. So if you take a class that is not, you just want to take it because it will help you get into a credential program, or to help you get into a grad program, something like that, but you don't need it for your graduation, then it will not cover, the gig will not cover that class, but it will cover your other classes. That program, you can contact Tiffany Bookman, and she'll have more details on it and the status of your application once you have submitted for it. Sorry, you also, one more thing, you can take up to a maximum of 14 units.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Veronica. I know this has come up many of times, and we just want to make sure that, you know, we confirm it here on our podcast. Will summer be virtual, in person, or hybrid? Can you share a little information about that with us?
Summer is mostly virtual. There's a couple classes that are meeting on campus, but you would know if it's yours. So you can just count on all of them being online. Some do meet at certain times. So you do have synchronous and asynchronous, which asynchronous is when you just do your work whenever you do and get it in by the deadlines. And synchronous is when you will need to meet with your class at certain times, and that will be on the class schedule. It will note the days and times that you'll need to meet online. But almost everyone will not meet on campus. You'll all be online.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing that. And again, just a reminder, if your course were hybrid, now this may be courses, maybe, for example, with a lab, you will be notified via email. Again, most of the courses, majority of the courses for summer is online and virtual, as Veronica mentioned. So this is another question that student have been reaching out and asking us about. How many sessions are offered in summer? I know you had mentioned the max units. I'm just going to repeat it just in case. So max overall units that you can take during the summer sessions will be 14, with each session, in each session, 7 max units. Can you let us know how many sessions are available during the summer?
I'm really happy about this, but now that we've converted to semesters, we're able to go back to the 3 sessions. As some may be aware, if you took it last year, there was only 1 session because it was a short summer. And so we weren't able to offer as many classes. And so it was harder for students to take the classes or to get the classes because they weren't offered. But this year, we're back to the 3 sessions. It is a shorter term just because we're on the semesters and there's only 10 weeks. So there's 5 weeks. So the first 5 weeks is June 2nd through July 7th. That includes finals. And the second 5 weeks is July 8th through August 11th. And the full 10 weeks is June 2nd through August 9th. And so we're very happy. You should be able to find a class that you need. We're very happy to be back to the 3 sessions, and this way, and give students an opportunity to find what they need more, you know, there's just more selection for them.
Absolutely. And don't forget to check out the schedule. It is available online and or through your MyCoyote. And Veronica, let's say a student plans to enroll here at CSUSB for fall term. Now, fall is after this coming summer. So the student has been accepted to our campus at CSUSB as a transfer student or first-time freshman, and would like to attend a summer session with us. Can a student attend, and is there a process that the student need to follow or complete if they were going to join us, if they're already scheduled to join us in fall, but would like to come during the summer?
Yes, so there's a form on admissions website, and it's called the early summer start form, or they call it an application, but it's just a form. But what you have to do is you need to complete it and submit it to admissions, and they will approve if you can start classes in summer or not. However, they will not review it unless you have all of your paperwork in, transcripts, test scores, whatever you need to have in. They will not process it. It does take some time, so most likely you'll only be able to take classes in the second 5 weeks.
Thank you so much. And I know we had a couple questions regarding that, so thank you so much for clarifying and letting us know about that. So Veronica, let's say a student registers and the student does not receive financial aid and or they're not able or capable to pay the fees and or mandatory fees, overall fees for the summer, as they were expecting, you know, financial aid. What would you suggest the student would do in this case?
Well, you could contact Student Financial Services. I don't know if they offer payment plans or not for summer, but you can check with them and see if there's an option for a payment plan. You can also, unfortunately, if you can't pay for them, you're going to have to drop them because if you're enrolled in them and you don't pay for them, and for some reason, it's your responsibility to drop the class. And if for some reason, just because the drop date comes and you may not be dropped because it's all technology, who knows, something could happen. You should always check your account anyways to make sure that you're financial part is right, that your financial aid is there if you need it. And so you should always check your account, but especially when it's something where you may need to drop, don't expect the system to drop you just because it may be out there that it's going to on that date. So if you are unable to pay and you can't get loans then or financial aid, then unfortunately you would need to drop your classes. You want to make sure that you do drop the classes because you don't want to receive an F. And if you do receive that, summer does count towards your academic progress. So you want to make sure that you don't hurt that. Don't hurt yourself. If you can't pay for a class, you need to make sure you drop it. Don't assume that someone else is dropping it for you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes, that is very important. So if you are registered for courses, maybe you were expecting to receive financial aid and or you just don't have the means to pay and you've looked at all your resources and you just are not able to, you know, get this for this summer, please, as Veronica mentioned, make sure that you check your MyCoyote, that you check your academics. And unfortunately, of course, as she had mentioned, drop the courses because you don't want those to count against you because that could affect future aid as well as your progress in your education. So great information. And again, thank you so much, Veronica. I know that you've been doing this work here with us and we've collaborated with you, Matt and I, our team, our advisors. But what are some reasons why you would encourage students to enroll in a summer session and or winter intercession? Because I know you oversee that as well. But why would you encourage students to take advantage of these sessions?
Well, first, I would talk to seniors who only have a few classes left and say, your tuition is going to be 100% paid for. You know, you can't get a better deal than that. So if you have 2-3 classes, up to 14 units, your tuition is going to be paid for. Tuition only. We don't pay any of the mandatory campus fees. It doesn't pay if there's a class fee attached or books or anything, but it does pay your tuition. So I'd reach out to seniors. That's a huge benefit right there. That's a huge opportunity. Also, there is additional financial aid, like the summer assistant grant, that is not available during fall and spring. So you want to make sure that you can participate in that. And if you're eligible, you know, all you have to do is enroll. There's no application. There's nothing. Financial aid will determine your eligibility. I'd also say if you take these classes, you can get out of school a little earlier, and maybe you can get yourself out one semester early or two semesters early. But even if it's one semester early, that's financial aid you don't have to take out for another semester. Or if you're paying for it, that's another fee you don't have to pay for. It's just, and you're out in the workforce earlier than your other classmates, which allows you a step ahead of them because now you have the experience because you're a step ahead. Especially if you can get out two semesters, you're a whole year ahead of everyone. Also, due to COVID, unfortunately, a lot of us may have, you know, a lot of you may have fallen behind, and it's a way to get back on track so that you can stay on track towards your educational goals to make sure that, you know, everyone has the fatigue, everyone's tired, and it's been, you know, it's easier sometimes to just not do it. So we understand, but this is a great way for you to get back on track. It's an opportunity to do it. And as long as there's all that aid available for you, you might as well, you know, get back on track with that.
Absolutely. Getting back on track and staying on track. Thank you, Veronica, for sharing that. So if a student would like to reach out to you, your office, or may have some summer session questions, what's the best way that students will be able to get a hold of you and your office?
So we answer our email. We reply daily throughout the day. So we try to have our inbox empty every day, and we answer our calls. If you call and leave a message, we will return your call. If you call and you don't leave a message, sometimes we return your call anyway. And if we do get you, we will help you. The email address is summer@csusb.edu. And our phone is 909-537-3978. Again, we do respond. Even if the question isn't about summer, you need help, we'll try and figure out where you need to go. If you just can't give you answers, financial aid, we'll help you get the financial aid, but we cannot give you detailed information. But anything you need, we'll do our best to help you, and we won't just pass you around. We'll try and get the answers for you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Veronica. And I know you also are on social media. Can you please share the social media handles? That way, students will be able to check out the amazing posts and information that you have for them.
Yes. So we are on Instagram, and our Instagram is the hashtag CSUSB Summer. And we post three times a week. It has all the information you need. There's a Cody Coyote video up there, and if you need additional information, I also put our contact information every time there's a post, and it's just a great way if you just are looking for a quick image or quick information to go through and look for that. If there's anything that you want to see or any comments, we do check them, so you can leave a comment or a question, and we do check them, and we'll follow up with you. So it's just another way to reach out to us again.
Thank you so much, Veronica. Well, those are our questions, and we are truly appreciative that you are here to share the summer session information with us, not only with us, but our students that are listening. Again, if you have any questions, please don't be afraid to reach out. We are here to help and guide you. And thank you again, Veronica, for being here with us. Thank you so much, Veronica, for sharing all of the information about summer session, or should I say sessions, because there are three sessions. Please make sure you check us out on our social media outlets, CSUSB Advising on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, TikTok as well. And of course, thank you so much for listening to our podcast.